In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Good Tuesday afternoon and welcome into Grant and Danny on the Fan. It's September 3rd, 2024, and you are listening live to G&D on a football week. College football was awesome all weekend long. We are 2 days away from the kickoff of the NFL season. It's here.
We did it. Do you guys need a sweatshirt this morning on the walk to school? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Whatever your preference is, the fall has arrived. Shut up, everybody else. My time. You had it. You had yours. You're out there in the sun, burning yourselves with your scanty clothing, just tanning yourselves and all your abdominals. Now it's my time. Now it's my time. Just not sweating. Just standing and not sweating, GP, and the foosball. She's back.
Sean Merriman, former Maryland Terrapin and excellent pass rusher in the NFL, joins us today at 3:30 to look ahead to the season that kicks off on Thursday Night Football with the Ravens and the Chiefs. And then at 5 o'clock today, coming up in 3 hours, very, very excited to let everybody know that one of our favorite football guests, who better to get our game week started than Charles Davis of CBS, who will be on the call of the Bengals and the Patriots. This weekend, I should say. Charles is with us at 5 o'clock right here on Grant and Danny. We're taking you up to 6:10 and pregame of Nats Marlins tonight on the Fan. There is a lot to get into. Why don't we start with the news of the day? Trent Williams and the 49ers agreed to a contract restructure. So San Francisco's now sealed and delivered deals with Brandon Ayuk, who was holding in, and Trent Williams, who was holding out. They're both back. They're throwing it all together last second here, but the 49ers, with their stars carrying over from last year, will be at close to full strength as they get ready to open their season this weekend.
Yeah, too much at stake. Too much at stake for a team that's that good, a team that's got that kind of firepower, a wide-open NFC where they're the prohibitive favorite. They're the best team in that conference. Been to the Super Bowl. Pretty much every time they've been healthy, they've been in the conference title game or on the way to the Super Bowl. They are right there. Their window is open right now. So maybe if you're in a rebuilding position, maybe if you're coming off a 3 or 4 or 5-win season, you could play some more hardball with Trent Williams. And they don't have time for that, right?
I mean, if you're Trent, you're trying to win your first Super Bowl. You've been searching for one. You've been on the precipice, knocking on the door with San Francisco for a few years. You just got to give yourself the best chance this year and worry about everything else after that. They open the season on Monday Night Football 6 days from today against the Jets, actually. So that should theoretically be Aaron Rodgers' first full game for the New Yorkers. It was Monday Night Football 1 year ago in week one where he ruptured his Achilles tendon and he was done for the season. So he'll look for a different result in that game, and the Jets hope to keep the train on the tracks for at least a night with Aaron Rodgers, but that's Monday Night Football. Now, the 49ers did have a massive scare, and this was a near tragedy. Before we move on, we should just acknowledge that Ricky Pearsall, their rookie receiver from the University of Florida. I love this guy. He actually played with Jaden Daniels at Arizona State and then transferred to Florida at the end of his college career. They drafted him in the first round, which now seems almost like an unnecessary pick, by the way, because Debo's not going anywhere, and they paid Brandon Ayuk. He was kind of going to be the Ayuk replacement, perhaps. But he's a really, really talented route runner. He went to a event where he was signing autographs, was walking out of the event in downtown San Francisco. A teenager saw him, 17-year-old, I believe, tried to steal his watch. They get into an altercation and a bit of a fight. Kid pulls out a gun and shoots him in the chest. Subsequently, as he's taking off and trying to jump into a car, shoots himself. He's hospitalized. Pearsall, more importantly, had the bullet go through his chest, out his back, a nearly devastating loss of life situation. He ends up being A-OK. He's out of the hospital already. He's apparently in the team's facility today. But how can you hear that and not think about Brian Robinson 2 years ago?
100%, man.
The exact same scenario, basically. Robinson, instead of being at a card signing event, was in downtown D.C. just picking up seafood. He heard about a restaurant.
He'd like to eat lunch.
He heard, this is a great place to get a po' boy sandwich or whatever. He went, he scooped his food, he's taking his takeout back to his car, and two kids that were younger than 17, I think one was like 13 and one was 16 or something, you know, attack him, try to rob him. He gets into it with them and gets shot in the leg. So it's very, very similar to what we went through here in D.C.
Absolutely. I mean, it defies belief. It's so, the details sound fictitious. They sound made up. It sounds too incredible to be true. I don't mean that in a good way. Like, obviously, it's just, it's absurd. And people are going to hear this the right way. Obviously, I don't want anyone to be shot. I think that's a pretty strong stance there. That's pretty clear and pretty obvious. I've got, it's even more heartbreaking to me when this isn't some sort of, like, weird, nefarious activity going on Aaron Hernandez style at 3 o'clock in the morning, somewhere you shouldn't be. You know what I mean? This isn't one of those, like, extracurricular...
Yeah, you're committing a crime with bad people.
You're doing something, you're hanging out with some sort of seedy element or whatever the hell. It's like going to sign autographs. You know, it's like sort of team and career and football related, like, trying to make some people happy, right? Like, to build some fandom, to build the fan base. And that happens. Just unbelievable.
Yeah, it's nuts. And it again, is just scary. You think about it, these athletes, people know where they're at. You know, when they're publicizing themselves and doing some marketing at events. I saw Deebo Samuel actually on Instagram Live yesterday. A video was making the rounds where he said, hey, you guys need to slow down with the posting pictures of us out and about.
Yeah.
And obviously it's after one of his teammates got shot, so he's a little spooked. But his point is, I think, a good one. You know, he was referencing the fact that if he's eating at a restaurant or whatever, sometimes – you know, he'll see that people will take a picture and say, Debo's at so-and-so right now eating this meal. It's like, nah, man, let me live in some privacy. You just don't know what people are thinking. And bad guys have the social media, too. You know, they can, oh, Deebo Samuel, he's definitely got some jewelry on. He might have money or whatever. But just very, very happy that Pearsall's okay.
Hear, hear.
And by a couple of inches, probably not only survived, but hopefully we'll get to play football again as he's in the building today. No idea what the timeline is on his recovery. We'll see what the 49ers have to say as they talk about that today. So that means we only have one holdout left, by the way, with San Francisco and Trent Williams agreeing to terms this morning. Hassan Reddick still having not reported to the New York Jets, the former Philadelphia Eagle. And this is the all-time stare down of the offseason. The Jets traded for him knowing he wanted a new contract and told the Eagles he wasn't going to report. Reddick broke out with the Panthers, then played really well in Philly. This will be his third organization in short order where he's a hired gun pass rusher. And now he's telling the Jets, I'm not showing up without more money. It's not happening. And the Jets put out a really strong statement saying, don't listen to him. He knows the score. Yeah. So this is the one. This is the we've got Ja'Marr Chase holding in still, where he may not play in week one. He's still wearing jeans during practices, sitting on the sideline watching his buddies. This is the one player who's yet to report to work.
Yeah, and, you know, it's very little opportunity. There's not much leverage. There's only so much you can do, right? If you're a player, with the CBA being under contract, you know, not coming up to work days is prohibitive, right? You don't accrue the service time that you need. You don't end up, you know, playing well to earn that big ticket in free agency. The best you can do is basically say, almost in effect, I'm not going to be as good for you guys and you're desperate to win if you don't pay me and I can't show up and practice and make sure that I'm ready to rock and roll. You're going to get a worse version of me. That's not that much leverage, honestly. You know, it's basically a glorified temper tantrum where you hope that the kid is like a parent at the end of a long day and the toddler just is holding their breath and is turning purple and just yells and you go, fine, I'll make you the dumb chicken nuggets. That's what it feels like. I mean, there's only so much that you can do at this stage. The alternative, I guess you can call your bluff and say, we'll turn the car right around. But what is that? I mean, the Jets are in a decent position. They need him. And that's why, obviously, they took the risk of trading for him, even kind of without the certainty of that deal.
How much college football did you get to watch this weekend?
Not as much as I would have liked. A lot more time in the greater Leesburg area at the various soccer plexes out there. There's one where I don't know if it's a semi-pro team or something, the Revolutionaries. I don't know, or maybe the.
I think that's George Washington.
That's George Washington, but maybe somebody like that. I don't know. Nice little stadium. There's like a, with like the professional style, the dugouts for the kids for soccer games and stuff like that. So I was there a lot, but I caught some.
Locally, Maryland looked really good. Now, they played UConn. They should look really good.
This is their bit, yeah.
And they do this every year to start the season. But I was actually more impressed by them this time around than I have been in a little while. Billy Edwards in his first start as the starter was excellent. 311 yards, 2 touchdowns. And Ty Felton, who to me looks like a day two draft pick, their number one wide receiver, went 7 for 178 and a couple of touchdowns. Maryland's done a pretty good job. Not quite wide out you, but they churn out some athletes at that position. You think about DJ Moore, mm-hmm. what he's done in the NFL. Stephon Diggs
yep.
is another one. There have been other guys coming through there. But I really like Felton's game. They got speed. They got athletes. I just don't know if they're big enough in the trenches and good enough up front on both sides of the ball under Mike Locksley in that conference.
Yeah, it's always how it feels, right? Like where their top few guys can go up against anybody's top few guys.
Absolutely.
But then you get to guys 7 through 15, and it's five-star Freddie on the other side, and it's, you know, I don't know, you're kind of outgunned there.
The opposite of the Maryland performance was what Virginia Tech did. They went to Vanderbilt in Nashville, and they got stunned by the Commodores, 34-27 in overtime. The Vanderbilt quarterback was a transfer, who I think was like the Conference USA Player of the Year last year, Diego Pavia, and he ran for 104 yards and a touchdown. Just ran all over Virginia Tech. I thought they were terrible defensively. They got off to a really slow start on offense, and then they got back into the game and tied it, but eventually lost in overtime. That's a bad loss for a team that a lot of people thought out of a fairly weak ACC.
Kind of sneaky, yeah.
Might actually be able to make the playoffs, and I guess with one loss, you're not dead in the water, but certainly doesn't look good after 1 week.
No, really could have used that W. Just also kind of spinning it around, Florida State, what on earth is going on? I mean, this is a group we were sort of told, hey, now, you know, the sort of slow build last year, I thought they got jobbed not making the playoff, but, you know, it just depends on how you view those playoffs, right?
You would have put them in the playoffs?
Yeah, because I go, either games matter or they don't, and they decided they don't because they're not good right now.
I remember kind of going back and forth on that. Yeah, I'm happy they were out. Mm-hmm. I thought it would make for a terrible playoff game.
Yeah, they wouldn't have been as good because they weren't as good as the teams that were there.
Would have been destroyed without Jordan Travis. But a lot of people are now trying to make their first two games a referendum on last year. Like, see, they should have been. And that's still silly. It's a different team. It's a different year. That said, they're the third FBS team in the last 45 years to lose two games in a row to open the season when they were double-digit favorites. It's happened 3 times, counting them this year, in almost 50 years. They're 0-2. They were double-digit point favorites in both games. And I actually think Boston College is going to be really good. Watching them last night, they've got a good quarterback. It's year one with Mr. Bill O'Brien as their head coach.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that team looks like they're going to be a tough out in the conference.
That was pretty impressive, or depressive if you're a Florida State fan. And LSU does not win season openers. I guess that's kind of a new thing.
How mad was Brian Kelly?
He was pretty pissed.
Like slamming the desk.
Yeah. Be as mad as you want, Mr. Kelly. Do something different.
Big win for Notre Dame. They had an awesome performance. Just like USC's win that you're referencing over LSU was massive. I thought Notre Dame, Texas A&M.
On the road, too.
Yeah, that's a game where you go there, you win that one, and then with their schedule, which is mostly cake for much of the rest of the way, they have an opening. If they can win one or two more of their biggest games, to pretty easily being in the middle of the top 12 when the playoffs start.
And you know they will be. I mean, they'll be in the mix. TV loves that. It's sort of that built-in ratings bonanza. They're, you know, no matter how overrated they are, they're always kind of more around, and we'll end up getting some more high profile games maybe than some of the mid majors.
Football, Danny.
Football.
Tonight we got a fantasy football draft. As a matter of fact, let's bring producer Darris Dameron on to the program. He was hired as the bad guy this year to form the fantasy football league, come up with all of the specifics for the league, the settings. So we are drafting tonight, and all of our listeners can come hang out with us. Even if you're not in the league, we're going to do an on-site draft with the board and the stickers, and it's going to be a good time. So if you want to just come hang with the guys.
Eat some apples at Highline, man.
Yeah, let's have some drinks and some wings. The Grant and Danny program and some of the P1 callers and folks are going to be around mingling. Should be a really good time. So give us the deets on what we need to know, Darris.
Yeah, we'll be at Highline in Crystal City. I want to thank everyone who participated in the trivia contest last week. It was fun going through all the responses and seeing some of the bits that people had to do. But we did get our winners. We got our winner from last year's back. So it's going to be a good time. Should be a lot of fun this evening at Highline in Crystal City.
And still the defending champion. Are we trying to start the draft right at 7, do we think?
Yeah, I told everyone to be there by 7, so maybe we're looking at like a 7:15 start.
My only concern about the stickers and the board, it's going to take longer than the online 1 minute at a time draft. Mm-hmm. Not that that's a big deal, but we should start it sooner than later. Or else we're going to close that bar down tonight.
Probably. We also do need to figure out how we'll determine the team selection order. Or excuse me, the draft order.
That's a good point.
Yeah, we
should do some kind of bit.
Maybe a wing-eating contest before we get going. Most wings gets the highest pick, something like that.
Oh, man.
All get a plate of wings, and in the order of how fast we finish our wings. I like my chances in that one.
I was going to say, you're our rep.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, we're splitting
the team. We're sharing a team this year, you and I. And I believe you and Ryan are sharing a team
as
well.
That's correct. Yeah, we're co-managing a team.
Very, very good. So tonight, come out. Hang with us. We are at Highline R&R Crystal City. We'll be there right before 7 o'clock. We're drafting throughout the evening, so when you walk in, just ask them where the show is, and they will point you in the right direction. But good opportunity for everybody to get together to kick off the football season.
Hey, that place rules, and it's really, really fun. Great appies, good food stuffs. And this is always one of the most fun nights of the year. When we get together, we do bits. Even if it's a good pick, you don't tell the person it's a good pick, and you heckle them, make them insecure.
A lot of joning.
That's the best.
I think that's healthy.
That's what it's supposed to be.
It's a sign of palship, right, and camaraderie, and that's the fellowship we're all looking for.
Yeah, like first pick, the consensus number one is Christian McCaffrey. Like somebody puts McCaffrey on the board, like, oh, my God, that's so stupid.
Like, definitely, like, it's like one of those internet memes, like, oh, he's out with the guys. They're probably thinking about ways to cheat. And then it's like, Christian McCaffrey's going to be hurt by week 4. You know Christian McCaffrey is going to be out by week 4.
They've already talked about his usage.
We should get to the Commanders because they are 5 days away from starting their season. Week 1 in Tampa, the 4 o'clock window, which is just a gigantic victory for all involved.
Just a big fat L.
You all get to watch the 1 o'clock red zone 3-hour window. On the first Sunday of the season, I've got chills just thinking about it. I am feeling electricity through my body just thinking. The countdown clock says like 10, 9, 8, and then the music's going to play, and Scott Hansen's going to walk out, and we're going to see the live look-ins at like 7 stadiums. And then right at 1 o'clock, I got my Sunday ticket going. I got ball in the air kicking off the season. Ian Eagle and Kevin Kugler and all these dudes on the call of a brand new year with the new kickoff. Everyone thinks it's just going to change the game forever, but really it's just going to be a kickoff that gets returned to about the 24. Everything's going to be fine. Just calm down and don't be angry. We're ready.
It does look weird.
1 o'clock, man.
Mm-hmm.
We get to watch football. And then the Commanders come on at 4. It's perfect.
To ruin it. To ruin the whole day.
But just enjoy your 1 o'clock window.
Yeah, I'd like to enjoy I can do both. I can juggle both things. They should be on at 1 o'clock always. Until they're good, then we can start putting them in more primetime windows.
Speaking of things that should and shouldn't happen, you were just talking about how, or you've said this a lot on the show, Sundays is a busy day for you with games.
Yeah.
Is that going to be the case in the fall during football?
Absolutely.
So I need that, and this is just my own thing, unrelated to, or not you saying this, I need that to stop. And how do we get that to happen?
What do we do?
Why is that a thing?
I will answer that.
Here are the days that work for games.
Okay.
Monday through Friday at night. Saturday, big game day. Let's do all the games on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Sunday, no games.
So several things. Number one, I don't know how all these parents are able just to get their kid to a practice at like 4:45 or 5 o'clock. That's hell. I don't know how anyone does it. We're scrambling. We fight with each other all the time. Everyone's always yelling at each other. It's 97% of our strife at home is the scheduling and how the hell do we do this?
But most
we
people barely don't hang work on. In the office anymore. But it's probably easier to do that than ever before.
I would say a lot of people still have jobs. A lot of people are still employed.
But a lot of them are not in the office.
Maybe. You still have to stop working at like 3:30, get the kid.
How many people are really working? You know what I mean?
But enough. Where it's still, like, everyone should be agreeing with me that it's way too complicated and somehow everyone does it and it drives me crazy. So, times where there are no conflicts are delightful. We're signing up, my youngest, for example, for this flag football league because in the spring, he had 10 different Saturdays where there were 3 different games. Soccer game, baseball game, lacrosse game. And it's like, he's dragging. We're tired. Everyone's miserable. So, you find one sport, this one, flag football, the whole thing takes place on Sunday. The practice is right before the game. It's so lovely and so calm and so delightful.
I don't think any youth sports should be played on Sunday.
No, I know you're aware of that. And it is 2024, so we got to update that, like, sacred Sunday thing.
Yeah.
We got to change that. So, you know, travel tournaments, travel games for my oldest are on Sundays all the time. So, yeah, but it's welcome because I can contribute. I can go. It's great.
Number one, we should all work back from, how do we make sure there's no games on when the NFL is being played? That's the first thing everyone should be concerned with. Everything else is after that.
Mm-hmm.
But second, you joined about the sacred Sunday thing, and that's fine. Whether you go to church or you don't, or whatever your proclivities are, fine. No problem. There used to be just a thing where you had a day to be with your family and kind of just not have to be everywhere at the same time. And that was cool. I think society was better when you just had a day to just kind of do your thing and recharge the batteries and slow down, and you didn't have to look at your phone, and you could just hang out with your kids at home. And now that's gone. That doesn't exist. And I'm just saying, I think it was better when that existed.
Yeah, it is long gone. Because everybody works, everybody's so busy. Having a day or having moments where there's no conflict or whatever, because it's not like if you've got kids, you know this, you're not just sitting at home all day Sunday. If you have kids, you're doing stuff. Like you are a doer. There's no day where no one's doing anything. You want your kids cooped up for 12, 13, 14, 15 hours?
It's called Sunday.
Yeah, that ain't great either. Yeah. So
that'll be over here. You guys go do your thing.
And I bet your mom is just, mom is just sitting there doing nothing too. No, she's got the kids.
Oh, it's tough. Yeah.
Yeah.
She doesn't like me very much during the fall. Look, I'm telling you, worst husband and father in America.
Yeah.
Every Sunday.
You get that notarized letter. He's like, hey, my bad on that.
September through December.
Uh-huh.
I'll be back. See you guys in January.
And there's a little bit of January too, because the playoffs. The wild card round, division round.
We don't have to worry about those around these parts.
No, but I'm still going to watch it. It's for work. You can't get mad.
Of course. What are you most excited about when it comes to the Commanders opening their season week one in Tampa Bay? What are you most excited to turn that TV on? You see them running out of the tunnel. What's got you fired up when you think about week one and Washington? We'll get into that next. We'll open up the MGM National Harbor listener lines as well on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
He's Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Sean Merriman stops by at 3:30 to get us ready for the NFL season. Charles Davis is on the show at 5. He is on the call with Ian Eagle of Bengals Patriots this weekend in Foxborough. Danny, it's game week. We are 5 days away from the Commanders playing their week one game in Tampa. Let's open up the phones at 800-636-1067. Now, the question is, When you think about week one, when you think about Washington making their debut against the Bucks, what excites you most? I think the easy first answer is all things Jaden Daniels.
Of course.
So we could just tee that up, get it out of the way, and then move on. But it's got to be getting our first true look at the kid.
No kid gloves on, so to speak. I mean, it's all, you know, it's all going to be spoon-fed at this stage of a rookie's development. But yeah, I mean, this is the real football. This is the real stuff. This is the offense. This isn't what are they showing, what are they not showing. This is it. This is the real thing. The bullets are flying, so to speak. And a guy with all the talent in the world who does everything the right way all the time. It's not just for Instagram or for show. This is the person. But here it is, man. It's in your hands. Like, sorry, there's a lot of pressure. But the fate of hundreds of thousands of people's joy and happiness when it comes to this recreational activity we've all opted into, it's on you, man. Please help us.
Which isn't fair and probably
it ain't right, but
way oversimplified at an extremely dependent position, as our buddy Joe Theismann talks about on this show so frequently. Jaden Daniels is the answer, though, because you get to see how they're going to use him, how they're going to implement him. Cliff Kingsbury made it clear when he spoke to the media in the preseason that he was not going to show much of what he wanted to do in the regular year and that they didn't really open up the playbook much. So theoretically, even after seeing Daniels play multiple times, one of those games he only threw the ball three times, by the way, and then he didn't play in the third game, we may still have no idea really what their offense is going to look like, what their true plan is. In fact, if you go back to 2012 and Robert Griffin's debut, 12 years ago, a week from now in New Orleans, when he came out and they ran that read option for the first time, that whole offense that the Shanahan's designed, what they called their 50 series, nobody knew it was coming, and they scored 40 points. That's this week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who's to say that we don't see something that we're not expecting? Maybe they don't huddle a whole lot. Maybe everything is out of the spread, and it's up-tempo, and they're holding up boards on the sideline like it's college football. Like, nobody knows they're going to do. And I'm exaggerating and being funny, but I can't wait to see what it looks like. I'm also really interested to see how much is Jaden Daniels running the football. Because we all know that how good he is as a passer is what's going to determine the fate of the pick and whether or not he's going to be a championship level QB in this league. But I do think he's got a chance to be Lamar Jackson-ish if he runs a lot. Him and Anthony Richardson and Jackson, there's a short list of guys who have his game-breaking ability when he's running the football. So I will be really curious to see that part of his game, too.
100%. So some other things kind of related to Daniels. I'm excited to see Austin Eckler. Like, we've now kind of gotten to the point where we can't wait to sort of cast guys off, right? Because Eckler was everybody's darling, probably, you know, a top five fantasy pick for a couple straight years. And then last year, that production from him and everybody in Los Angeles, in terms of the running backs, fell off the cliff. And they were a disaster running the football. But he still caught the ball very well, still is quality out of the backfield. And that, to me, is the recipe. This is how you help a young quarterback. This is how you help an offense. It's a little cheat code. Early down, throwing the football to running backs. Even if it's not sexy, even if it's just 4.5 yards, et cetera, it's a glorified running play. But it's something else defense have to worry about. It's an effective, cheap, simple, easy way to keep the offense moving, to keep the chains moving. And he's as good as anybody has been over the last decade at doing that. I mean, he's in that Thurman Thomas mold when nobody was doing that. Him and Roger Craig back in the 90s, where no running backs were catching the ball out of the backfield, and they revolutionized the position. He's as good as there is at catching the football out of the backfield. That is awesome, and I want that.
I'll say the rest of the rookie class, not named Jaden Daniels, or at least a chunk of it. Brandon Coleman was listed as the starter at left tackle on the depth chart the team put out going into their game with the Bucks. Now, that depth chart is far from gospel, and you could even say it doesn't matter a whole lot. But that did catch my attention, and I think a lot of people's attention. Do we see him? Dan Quinn said now over a week ago he does not have to see Brandon Coleman play in the preseason to feel good enough to start him week one of the regular season sight unseen, because they saw him in practice extensively. Well, the last time he was practicing before this week when he came back, he was their best left tackle. He had supplanted Cornelius Lucas in those reps. So does he just pick up where he left off? There's a very good chance when they trot out there as a first-team offense and, you know, you get that shot from on the field where somebody holding the steady cam is like in the huddle and they break the huddle and we're seeing Jaden Daniels now from the all-11 view and they've got his stats and his LSU graphic there. Brandon Coleman might be at left tackle as the guy on the left side of the offensive line for Washington, their third-round pick. That would be a huge deal. We have not seen him in a game. We have not seen Johnny Newton in a game. What's his status? What's going on with Johnny Newton? Could he play and we'd see him for the first time? I doubt it, but it's possible. And then the guys that we know will be on the field in that rookie class, Mikey Sanra still is going to be their starter on the interior in the nickel. You know he's going to play a lot at corner as well, perhaps. I think he's sharpie, legit, good, nothing to worry about there. But I want to watch him. I want to see Luke McCaffrey, who's going to play some at wide receiver. Maybe you slide him down the depth chart a little bit because they brought in Noah Brown with some size. And then Luke Sinnott. Ben Sinnott. Luke McCaffrey at wide receiver and Ben Sinnott at tight end.
You combine those players, that'd be pretty good.
That'd be a really nice player. But Ben Sinnott, to me, probably a second fiddle tight end until Ertz is unavailable with health, which seems like an annual staple.
Mm-hmm.
So early in the year, maybe it's a little quieter, but he had an awesome preseason. There was not a single time where he caught the ball and just quickly went to the ground. Like, he's the opposite of Ertz in that way, where he's fighting through tackles, he's taking on contact, he's got that coolie after the catch ability. I can't wait to see Ben Sinnott, whether it's against the Bucs or in the weeks to come after that. That's a fun pick.
So we roll our eyes at this because this is one of those places, talking about Washington, where the Hall of Famer past his prime, you know, gets one last payday, right? You know the names before I even say them, whether it's Bruce Smith or Deion Sanders or, you know, Jason Taylor, you know, incredible pantheon players who don't really produce here and are, you know, just getting paid past their prime over the hill. I don't think that's the case with Bobby Wagner. That's a Hall of Famer. Right now, this minute, he stops playing, he's across the threshold for what should be a Hall of Fame candidacy, right? They've got some numbers. Pro Football Reference has him past the average of what an inside linebacker accrues for his career. He's already surpassed that with more to play. It's rare to get the privilege of seeing a Hall of Fame player who's still got something left in the tank, and we're going to see Bobby Wagner play middle linebacker for Washington. That's pretty cool.
What about coaching staff-wise? I don't think there's really any questions with demeanor or how they're going to go about their business. Coming out of the preseason, we saw a lot of that. And Dan Quinn is not a first-time head coach, so it's not like you've got a former coordinator who's doing it for the first time. Go back and watch a Falcons game. You can get a feel for how involved he'll be. In fact, we saw in the preseason when some guys were struggling that he would go right up to them and coach them up and get in their ear during the game and be a bit of a motivator, which I really, really liked. But what about coordinating? Whether it's Joe Witt Jr. on defense or on the offensive side of the ball with Cliff Kingsbury. Any questions? Anything you're excited to see there?
You already mentioned Kingsbury, I'm sure. That's a little word combo. Cliff Kingsbury. But to me, this is one of the fascinating questions. It's almost like the 1A to Daniels and everything that's concerning Jaden Daniels. But, you know, it's obviously very related. What offense is it? Is it this sort of the same deal as Arizona where, you know, you kind of know some of the tendencies and every year they start off great and then kind of get figured out by the end of October, November and kind of swoon? Or are there new wrinkles? Or has he kind of reinvented himself? Did he behave a certain way because of who his quarterback was? Does that change with Jaden Daniels? Those looks and what they can do to outthink and out and try to make things easier for Daniels and really this offense by transitivity would be a welcome departure from what we've seen the last couple of years. Predictable thumping via Scott Turner at the behest of Ron Rivera, or drop back and throw it 77 times via Eric Bieniemy. I don't know the answer to that. I think that's one of the big variables. So I'm obviously excited there in terms of Kingsbury. But in terms of Joe Witt and really Dan Quinn kind of by extension, the secondary, they take unknown players and have them lead the league in interceptions. That they've done that multiple straight years there in Dallas, and Dan Quinn cut his teeth with the Legion of Boom there in Seattle. So if you're a member of the secondary, you cannot get a better situation than you've got right now. Now, you may be, you know, prove that you can't do it, and they'll supersede you, and they'll go grab somebody else over the next couple of seasons. But right now, they're not in a hurry. A lot of holdovers from last year. If you are a member of the secondary, this is your best shot to be good and be competitive and stick in the league.
There's some other guys for me we haven't mentioned. Frankie Louvu, whose style of play I think is infectious. Can't wait to see his physicality and the way he played in Carolina in burgundy and gold. On the offensive side of the ball, is this finally the year Deami Brown carries over a big preseason? And Brian Robinson has a chance, you would think, to have a pretty strong season. They're going to run it a lot more than they did with Eric Bieniemy. There's been a lot of chirping from him about usage last year and the style of play offensively and why he'll be a lot better with this group. Well, now you got to go prove it.
Mm-hmm.
You could talk all offseason, but now you got to go out there and not average 4 yards a carry and kind of prove that you were being held back, which hopefully we'll get our first glimpse of seeing him do that in week 1 against the Bucs. Phones are open. We'll get to your thoughts next at 800 636-1067. As always, you can tweet us at Grant H. Paulson, at Funny Danny. The question being, who or what are you most excited about as it pertains to Commanders Bucks 5 days out on Sunday and week one being here for Washington? A former Redskin, Todd Bowles, has no time for the Commander's name. We'll explain next.
First thing you want to do is make sure that you had some things in place, you know, before the player arrived. And so we did some things offensive line wise on the interior to make sure that, you know, obviously like adding a tight end like Zach, having a run game, you know, that you would add to it. All of those things, you know, were part of the design prior to even Jaden being here. But the added element that he's brought, the confidence, the swagger that he plays with, the details that he has, all of those things are what you'd hope to see, and that's why I just thought it was best to go through the process and get through all of the steps and then, you know, do that. But without having to do that, our whole program is going to be based on competition, and so I felt best to go through the whole competition before, you know, making any big statements.
Dan Quinn getting ready to coach his first game with the Commanders. 6 seasons as the head man in Atlanta. Twice double-digit wins. Final 3 years, 7-9, 7-9, 0-5. He's got something to prove as a 43-42 all-time head coach who made the playoffs twice in his first 3 seasons and then none of the final 3 years. Got off to an 0-5 start before getting fired in 2020, and he's been waiting, chomping at the bit for this opportunity. So we welcome you back on G&D. We are 5 days away from the Commanders and the Bucks. Your home for more NFL talk than anywhere else all week long is 106.7 The Fan. The head coach of the Bucks is Todd Bowles, who also has ties to the nation's capital and to this organization. He played with the Redskins.
Mm-hmm.
I bring that up because I think it's important context for this quote and this part of his press conference this week. Pretty clearly, Todd Bowles either doesn't care or just has no time for the name Commanders.
I think if you find yourself just facing a rookie quarterback, the other 10 guys going to kill you. So we're facing the Redskins. We're not facing Jaden Daniels. They got 10 other guys that we got to worry about as well. So we don't look at it as facing a rookie quarterback. We're trying to beat the Redskins.
I totally get that every now and then someone's going to slip up and say Redskins. Happens with broadcasters on the call of games.
Sure.
You and I still every now and then, especially if we're talking about the past, it's kind of weird. What do you do? But almost always right after that, you catch yourself because you know, well, it's not Redskins, it's Commanders. There was no hesitation.
No.
There was no, let me take a step back and call them the Commanders or say, actually the new name or nothing. He just, it's not on his radar. He's got other things to worry about. He doesn't really care. I just found that clip hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, when you spend 3/4 of a decade collecting a paycheck from the Washington team, and you've got a longtime association with that team, like part of your career, which Todd Bowles had, to me, you're to be forgiven. I know that it's a you know, a cardinal sin to some, and I'm not here to legislate that. We've done that plenty. But to me, it's like, you think about Washington, you think about the name of the team. He played for that team. So again, when he showed up to work, that's what he was doing every single day. He's like, who do you play for? And that was the answer for, again, seven and a half years. Yeah, like I get it. Like I understand, like whether it's slipping up or just a cognitive association, he but doesn't have time for the new thing for whatever. You know?
I don't even think it's anything to need to be forgiven for. Like to him, it's the Redskins, and he's just kind of rolling with it. But clearly, he knows they're the Commanders now. There's just no acknowledgement of that
yeah.
in any way in that press conference clip there from this week. Let's go to Chris, who's in Brandywine on Grant and Danny. What are you most excited about as it pertains to week one?
Hey guys, I'm definitely most excited about the idea that I think we're being slept on. I think that we're better than a lot of the national prognosticators are think, and we might catch a few teams slipping, including Tampa Bay. Now, one thing I just wanted to ask you guys in regards to one thing I'm worried about is just whether or not what happened in Dallas was a system issue, or if it was just they came out flat.
Talking about the playoff game, you mean?
Yeah, the playoff game against the Packers.
Yeah, they gave up almost 50, and Dan Quinn's defense got annihilated. I mean, Matt LaFleur, the head coach of the Packers who calls plays for Green Bay, played for and worked under Dan Quinn in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. My guess is he had a pretty good feel for how they operate. He worked with him and Joe Witt Jr. So Green Bay, when they play Washington, you may want to take the over. I don't know. But I think he had their number that day, and it was a really bad day for the Cowboys.
Yeah, that's certainly everything about it was bad. I mean, we've seen these things happen before. Like, Tampa Bay beat Philadelphia last year in the postseason. Philadelphia is a better team than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are, right? Like, we kind of know that. Dallas has turned in some pretty good homework on that side of the ball over the last few seasons. So I'll take the bigger sample before I start slamming the gavel. People love to do that where it's a high-stakes, huge moment, and they're bad. And they were terrible that day, by the way. They got woodshedded in that ballgame. They were not competitive. You could say that. I think it'd still say Dan Quinn did a pretty good job on that side of the football over the last several seasons.
Collectively top five over two seasons, I would think, statistically, defensively, and also 30-plus takeaways speaks to his word got through to the Cowboys last year. Along the lines of Washington being slept on, another power rankings drop today, PFTs, they had them 27 out of 32 teams. Only the Raiders, Giants, Cardinals, Patriots, Panthers, some of the dregs of football, ranked behind Washington. That's kind of where most people have them. Outside of the top 25 in the NFL, bottom 5 to 7 teams in the sport. So, yeah, they're going to catch some teams sleeping potentially. And I do think this Bucs game is a winnable contest. Let's go to the very handsome Dominic in Ohio. What's up, Dominic?
Gorgeous.
Thank you, boys. Appreciate it. Always taking the call.
Yeah, Monic.
I am the most excited for the pageantry of Sunday to come back. I cannot wait to go over to my brother's house, eat all of the fattening dips, have my fantasy teams on my phone, have my parlays built. Checking on those like a addict scratching at an itch that they just can't scratch anymore. It's the thing that I treasure the most is the pageantry of that whole thing. It's the thing I cannot live without.
Settling in, right, to the self-induced stress of whether it's your daily fantasy team or your regular fantasy team or like a six-way parlay that you put for $1 hoping to win like $6,000 just because you need the Cardinals to cover or something weird. That's the best, dude. It is so perfect.
Yeah, there's just something about the whole football season aura like this time of the year. I was driving and just thought about my windows are going to be down. You're going to wake up. It's going to be a little chilly outside. Going to walk the kids over to the farmer's market near us. There's just so much about this time of year. Going to get them to a pumpkin patch a couple times and eat some apple cider donuts. Like, it's all wins. It's just, we're the 72 Dolphins. Everywhere you look's a W,
just
man.
A win.
You can't swing a stick without
Grant Zonk over there
hitting a victory. You know, call me Grant Shula. It is the best. Sean Merriman at 3:30. Charles Davis at 5. We're getting you ready for the NFL. Let's take our first look at the week 1 schedule. Several days out here and look at some of the big storylines going into a brand new season of football on a football week on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Cook. compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.